we've got capable dudes.
The likelihood of that is a little sus.
Get up. Damn it, I'm here for it.
What's going on?
What exactly are we doing here? Pancakes is one of our favorite things.
Snap.
Come on, man.
Oh, it's a thing of beauty.
We got just unbridled chaos.
Well, Greeny, it's your world. We're just living in it.
I like that one.
My sister dropped me on my head twice when I was like 3 years old.
Should I not laugh at that?
I turned out all right.
Yeah, that depends on how you define all right.
Rob Gronkowski, I'd be surprised if he didn't come back. So surprised that I'm willing to jump in the East River.
That could be a ratings boom.
Linemen are sensitive because they wore T-shirts at the public swimming pool as kids.
Damian Woody is on the phone, Timmy. He would like a word. That genuinely might be the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
We'll see this primetime on the Ocho.
Who's tougher, the hockey players or the football players?
Football.
Hockey.
Football.
Let's bring in the judge, Dan Graziano.
Oh, what is this guy wearing?
It's Judge Judy.
You know, I went to journalism school.
I have to rule in favor of PK and the hockey players.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
All right, meanwhile, planet Earth, in addition to being the top pick last night, check out Paolo Banchero's suit. I mean, I think it's supposed to be gem rhinestones.
Purple rain.
Yeah, it's
purple
cold.
Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell him again, you know, Pete. I said, I hear you purple.
You know. Yes, sir.
Hey, Ryan, would you sport a suit? Ryan, RC, would you sport a suit like that on draft night?
I'm not tall enough, right? When you're 5'11", those rhinestones get very, very close. You can only do that when you're 6'7", or 6'8", and you're slim. If you're built like me, you do not look good at that. There's only two people in the world that can pull that off, and that's Prince and that's Paolo. And he got to pull it off because he's the number one overall draft pick. And Denny had that ice on his neck, too. It looked clean to me. It was cold. It was a fit in a suit that was befitting of the first overall pick.
Wow, mm-hmm. You thought he pulled it off. All right. I thought it was little trinkets hanging off of it. I don't know. It's like, I won't say more. I'll give him his moment. He was the number one pick. He deserves it. Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Look who's here, Big Perk, ready to talk some basketball. Mm-hmm. You just saw RC, all the guys coming to talk football. But let's get going, Cindy, and have him get up with Paolo Banchero, who hopes to turn Orlando into the Magic Kingdom, dominating the NBA. We'll talk about him, the top pick in the draft. And is Kyrie angled to get a new deal in Brooklyn? Why he's given the list, the Nets, a list of teams that he could trade him to and what that means for Irving and KD. And look, when the Jets rookie Garrett Wilson learned what dinner would cost him, he almost lost his lunch. Why Ryan Clark is to blame for that. That and a lot more as we talk today. And we start with the top of the draft, the NBA draft, that is. The Magic, in a bit of a surprise, took Paolo Banchero number one. He was the 4-2 player to go first overall in the modern draft era, breaking a tie with Kentucky for the most over that span. And then there was Chet Holmgren, who was the number one overall recruit in 2021. He went number two overall to the Thunder. Now the highest drafted player to come from Gonzaga in the modern draft era. And the Rockets selected Auburn's Jabari Smith Jr. at number three. Houston hasn't drafted an eventual all-star since Yao Ming in 2002, the longest active drought for any franchise. So this is the fourth time in the modern draft era that the top three players were 6'10 or taller, and the first time since 2001, also the first time freshmen went 1-2-3 since 2017, Fultz, Ball, as in Lonzo, and Jason Tatum were the top three picks. But that was an even bigger story. It was this man, Kyrie Irving, created a list of teams that he'd like the Nets to consider working with on a sign and trade if he and the team can't agree to terms for him to stay. Woj joined us in the last hour, and he had this to say about that.
This is a really murky scenario right now between Kyrie Irving, the Nets, and Kevin Durant. He has a $36 million player option he can opt into midweek next week, or he could opt out, become a free agent. And right now it's a situation in the marketplace where there's no cap space out there for Kyrie Irving to leverage the Nets. The only thing they can legally negotiate right now is an extension off of that $36 million number. It's looking less likely that at the very least you're going to see Kyrie Irving on any kind of long-term deal.
So here's the list that everybody's talking about. Both LA teams are on his list, as well as the crosstown Knicks. That would be interesting. The Heat, the Mavericks, and the 76ers. Now, none of those teams have cap space to sign him without Brooklyn's help, and sources said some of them aren't interested in acquiring him in the first place. Mm. So let's bring back in Perk and RC and Brian Windhorst joining us now. And Wendy, set the scene for what looms over Kyrie and the Nets over the next 5 days.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hope we're having some problems with Wendy's sound, but we're going to
need more money.
Oh, there he goes. Go ahead, Wendy, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, sorry. The big thing with Kyrie is the decision to opt in or not. Obviously, if he opts in, it's vastly more money. And the problem with opting in is that it really reduces the options that he can go to any of those teams. For example, the Lakers would love to have him for the $6 million mid-level exception. But when he goes to opt in and now he has a $36 million salary, it pretty much eliminates them from trading for him, because there's no trade package that they can offer Brooklyn that they would accept. Same situation for the Los Angeles Clippers. So really, this comes back to, no matter how long the list is, it comes back to whether Kyrie is willing to actually opt out of that contract and sacrifice the guarantee to give himself more options. I know that this seems like it would be more simple because Kyrie would be able to work out potentially where he would want to go, but teams can't really know whether they want Kyrie or can afford Kyrie or not until he makes that first decision. And once he makes a first decision, it potentially changes his leverage. So this is a completely unusual scenario, and it would be complicated even if it was a star player with no problems. Considering everything around him, it's very hard for any of these teams to truly get in this bidding war when they don't know which path he's going to take.
The Nets are truly in a mess. So, Perk, I look at this and I wonder, what do you make of what's happening now with Kyrie?
Well, I think Wendy hit on it, right? He used the word unusual. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think about when it comes down to Kyrie Irving. Unusual, right? Every time it's a big moment in the basketball world, we look at the NBA draft last night, and we're talking about Kyrie Irving. We looked at when the NBA went down to the bubble. We was talking about Kyrie Irving. Some type of way he's going to make it about him. Now, I say that to say this. Listen, Kyrie Irving is a special talent. We understand he has a little some problems. When people go right, he tends to go left. You can't trust him if you're an organization. But one thing that you can trust is when he get between those lines that he's going to perform at a high level. And so when I look at this situation in particular, I don't see the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving fixing or coming to a solution except for him leaving at this point. They don't trust him. I think at this point in time, he really don't want to be there, and he's showing us those signs. If a person show you who they are, you have to believe.
Do you think he's more likely to go than stay then?
I mean, yeah.
Wow. Wow, RC. So if that happens, you look at this list, and I know you've been following the Kyrie story closely, so I wanted to bring you in on this.
Absolutely.
You look at this list, which team is the best fit?
You know, first off, I want to add something to what Perk said about Kyrie. And when you talk about Kyrie really making things about himself and us talking about him at the draft in different situations when Kyrie Irving isn't playing, it is because he'll go left when others go right, but it's also because he's just a dang good basketball player. He's one of the best in the world at what he does, and that's why we speak of him. So when you look at a team like the Miami Heat, and don't get me wrong, I love Kyle Lowry, Matt Strus, I love Tyler Hero, Gabe Vincent, Victor Oladipo, all of those guys, but think about the way Jimmy Butler had to exhaust himself in some of those wins in the playoffs just to get them to the conference finals and lose to Boston. When you have a guy like Kyrie that can take some of that scoring load, someone who is a walking bucket as soon as he steps between the lines, that's someone that you're willing to give up some of those players for and figure out a way to team him with Jimmy Butler, and now a team that has just been on the cusp for two of the last 3 years, to me, would have an opportunity to win it all with that type of talent on a team with a leader and an attitude setter and tone setter like Jimmy Butler.
Man, what a team that would be with him. Go ahead.
RC, you do realize when we talk about the Miami Heat, we're talking about one of the best coaches in basketball. We're talking about the ultimate godfather in Pat Riley, who don't give a damn. We're talking about one of the ultimate leaders in Eric Spoelstra, who don't care about calling players out because he has the OG to have his back in Udonis Haslem. I don't see that working. I don't understand how Kyrie Irving could even want to go to South Beach knowing
the Godfather
that they
move?
Wouldn't deal with his shenanigans.
The Godfather move? The Godfather move is not to trade for Kyrie Irving. The Godfather move is to let the Kyrie Irving situation blow up and then wait for Kevin Durant to say he wants out of there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the Miami Heat move.
Wow.
And that's some of the teams on this list are like, I don't want anything to do with Kyrie Irving. I want what comes after that. Now, Kevin Durant has a new podcast on his Boardroom Network that is out this morning where Kevin Durant speaks about this situation for the first time, as far as I can tell. He doesn't say much. He says that Kyrie Irving and he are in contact, but that he's going to stay out of it and stay back and not get involved because this is his situation. He certainly had the opportunity to voice a strong opinion. He did not. But that's what you got to understand, Ryan. When the teams that are on this list are looking at it and evaluating Kyrie, they're not just evaluating what's going to happen there. They're evaluating what the next move could potentially be.
I agree. But, but isn't that the problem? Isn't that the problem when it comes down to KD? I believe, you know, KD is a special talent. We understand one of the best basketball players, if not the best in the world. But when it comes down to holding his teammates and his quote-unquote brothers accountable, he does a poor job at that. He holds the media and people on the Twitter app more accountable than he do the players in his locker room. What do you mean he's going to stay out of that? Like, we're talking about a guy that you plan with Kyrie Irving to come down to Brooklyn and play together.
Are you saying part of his job is to keep Kyrie there to make sure that works? To make sure.
Part of his job is to be honest with his brother.
Okay.
Part of his job is to hold his brother accountable. He's had his back throughout this whole time. When people attack Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant attacked those people. At what point are you going to hold him accountable and say, hey, bro, hey, listen, I'm tired of it. I love you.
But KP.
But when are you going to provide for me what I need you to provide and be and have my back?
Go ahead, RC.
But Kendrick, you don't know if Kevin Durant is doing that behind the scenes. And now, I don't know if he is either, but he's not supposed to come out on a podcast and say I'm holding Kyrie accountable. He's not supposed to come out on a podcast and talk about Kyrie Irving's business. You know that as well as I know that. KP, this is how it works, and you from a place that's just like from a place like that where I'm from. I'm with you when you write. And I'm with you when you're wrong in public. Now, if he feels that Kyrie is doing some things or he wants Kyrie to come back, you have that conversation with Kyrie. But you certainly don't come out on a podcast and voice that publicly because now it messes up the situation even more.
I didn't say you had to come out publicly. But when you look at Kyrie actions, are you going to sit up here and tell me that Kevin Durant has been holding Kyrie Irving accountable? Or see, you have kids. If your kids and you're going to somebody else's house for a kickback or a family gathering, and your kids are going to these people's houses and destroying these people's houses, jumping on couches and things to that nature, what are these people going to say? They're going to say, you know what? RC is not doing a great job at home disciplining their kids. But if your kids go to their house and they're sitting down and they're being polite and they're saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, and those people are saying, oh, they're just some sweet babies. Then guess what? Those people are going to say, Ryan Clark is doing an excellent job at his house.
It is the same thing.
He says that because his kids are always the sweet ones, right? Yeah. RC, I bet. Yeah. Maybe, maybe not. All right, hey, but Wendy, this brings up a really good point, though. Really quick, producers. I know we want to move on, but I just have to say, we're talking about accountability, and I wonder if there's still interest among all these teams in Kyrie, because one of the biggest things here is, it's hard to hold him accountable. He's just a different dude, Wendy. He's a guy who kind of marches to the beat of his own drummer. So when these other teams are looking at him, even if he does opt out, is he going to be the kind of player, even for $6 million, that they want to bring in, given the history and everything else?
For $6 million, the Lakers would crawl over glass to get him, for sure. For a $200 million contract extension, where you have to give him all of that money and all of that trust, no, that is a much smaller list, but the list does exist. And something happened last night that I found probably, to me, the biggest story of last night, other than the change in the number one pick expected, is what the New York Knicks did in relation to their chances with Kyrie Irving. Mm. 24 hours ago, I was on here saying, I'm not seeing the Knicks doing anything that indicates they're interested in Kyrie. Well, that changed. Last night, the Knicks traded out of the lottery, not out of the 27th pick. Mm-hmm. The Knicks traded out of the lottery and picked up three first-round picks in doing so, and completely maneuvered with three trades in about 15 minutes to begin to clear salary cap space. And the Knicks, as we sit here today, have about $20 million in salary cap space they didn't have yesterday, and they now have, believe it or not, 8 first-round draft picks that they are able to trade to either clear more space or use in trades for players. The situation that we believe is their number one priority is Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson and the Knicks are in a free agent situation like I've never seen in my career, because his father is now on the Knicks coaching staff. The president of the Knicks held him as a baby, and the son of the president of the Knicks, Leon Rose's son Sam, is one of Jalen Brunson's agents, and he is an unrestricted free agent. I promise you, the Knicks are more aware of Jalen Brunson's intentions than any free agent in any team in the history of free agency. There's no way that they don't know. So why are they clearing this cap space? Are they clearing this cap space because they know that they're going to be able to get Jalen Brunson? Or are they clearing this cap space because Kyrie Irving has suddenly become potentially available? And I would not prioritize Kyrie Irving if I were the Knicks, and I'm not saying that the Knicks are doing that. But when you look at the Knicks' move last night, Kyrie Irving went from a, well, maybe, I guess, we could talk about it, to a viable option if they want to go that route. Kyrie now has an option that if he were to opt out of his contract, the Knicks, without too much work, could open up a cap space to sign him. They also could do it for Jalen Brunson. So the big development in the Kyrie Irving sweepstakes yesterday wasn't this list that Woj got. I mean, it was very good reporting and certainly was fascinating. A team actually started making moves that could potentially get Kyrie Irving in New York with that rivalry with the Nets. And so this is going to be fascinating to watch what else the Knicks do between now and next Wednesday and then the opening of free agency next Thursday.
Wow. Just wow. When you think about the implications of all that. And that Kyrie could end up there, that Jalen Brunson could end up there, and what that would do for the Knicks, just remarkable to think about. All right, guys, thanks so much. We're going to talk more about the deadlines for NBA stars, and the biggest one of them all has one later this summer. How much longer is LeBron going to be a Laker? Can't believe we're talking about that. And Patrick Mahomes has been one of the best quarterbacks on earth the last couple of years. So what is Tyreek Hill doing dissing his former teammate? Huh? Ryan Clark's going to tell us ahead.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, you thought the Kyrie story was big. Check this out. Another NBA news. LeBron has to decide on his extension with LA this August. Now, keep in mind, you know LA missed the playoffs this season. But LeBron has to decide. That's the key word. Because there is a world in which he might not be a Laker. Just putting that out there. Wendy, what do fans need to know about the decision facing LeBron and the Lakers later this summer?
Yeah, so LeBron has 1 year left on his contract. He has the option to extend, but he can't extend they can't even discuss it at all until August. So it's not an issue for the next 6 weeks. At that time, he is eligible to assign a 2-year extension, which can be one guaranteed and one player option, which is the route I believe he would go. Obviously, I've checked in on this, and the answer I've gotten back is no decisions have been made. And that's a reasonable answer. Now, I will say to you that I don't think LeBron wants to leave the Lakers. I think he's committed to being there. I think he gets frustrated at times, and certainly with the roster construction and moves over the last year, he hadn't liked it. But I don't think he's really looking to leave. Having said that, if he does not extend, which he could not extend for a number of reasons, we're going to have the beginning of a stress point, and we're going to be watching the Lakers very closely.
Wow. I mean, just the possibility of it is amazing. So, RC, are we living in a world, do you think, in which LeBron James leaves the Lakers sooner rather than later?
Well, here's the thing. We've lived in many worlds where LeBron James has left teams, right? We've seen it in Cleveland twice. We saw it in Miami. So from that standpoint, we know that LeBron will make decisions to pack up his bags and go play elsewhere. But I do believe that Los Angeles is the place for him. I believe he moved his family out there. His kids are thriving there. All of his businesses are thriving. And many times when we talked about his move to LA, it wasn't just about basketball, even though they won a championship in the bubble. So to me, I believe he stays in LA. I believe LeBron James wants to be a Laker. I think he wants to be in Los Angeles. And he has a team that's willing to work with him, that's willing to listen to him when it comes to which guys he wants on the team. Now, they're strapped for cash right now. They don't have a ton of cap space, and they need to make some moves now under new head coach Darvin Ham. But I believe LeBron is the Laker until he retires or until he's trying to get Bronny in the league on his team.
Yeah, and that would be interesting, too. He talked about that, remember, not long ago. Do you think there's a chance that he could actually leave him?
You know what? When it comes down to LeBron, right, his thing is striving for greatness and continue to add to his legacy. And if he don't see a team, organization doing the same thing, striving for greatness, LeBron James don't have a problem with leaving and relocating. I think when you think about LeBron at this point in his career, right, we keep saying, you know, everything is icing on the cake and rightfully so, but he doesn't look at it that way. LeBron James still feels like he's a young buck in this league. He feels like that he has a lot more to offer, and we heard him say, hey, I want to play with Bronny. He still has that, what is it, Wendy, 40,000 foot square foot house down there in Akron, Ohio. So look, let's not act like he's just committed and in bed with the Lakers, because it's not that, right? He has already delivered the championship there. He has nothing else to prove.
So what do you think they need to do to get, oh, go ahead, Wendy, real quick.
I will just point out, if you want to have a conspiracy theory, watch the Cavs moves over the next couple of weeks. They are going to extend Darius Garland, their all-star point guard. That is going to happen. But they have a couple of other moves that they can do that would potentially eat away their cap space for next year, which is what I would think that they would do as a young team. They should never be a free agent player. But if the Cavs do not retain Colin Sexton and they do not extend Caris LeVert, which is two things on their menu of options, and they leave open their cap space in 2024 or 2023, it's interesting food for thought. Just keep an eye on that.
I love that conspiracy theory. I love it. All right, so real quick, you said LeBron strives for greatness, still sees himself as a young buck. So what do they need to do in L.A. to help him achieve that greatness?
Need to find a way to get Kyrie Irving.
Oh.
Need to find a way to land Kyrie Irving. And I'm being serious. We talk about Kyrie Irving, and rightfully so, because our opinion changed based on facts. And the fact is that since he's left LeBron James, he has not been the Kyrie Irving that we've seen in the Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. Look, when him and LeBron James are on the floor together when they was in Cleveland in the playoffs, 39-13, he played his most consistent elite basketball alongside LeBron James. If LeBron James is trying to win another championship, Kyrie Irving is the guy that he needs to pair along with Anthony Davis to deliver another title with the Lakers.
Just a mere thought of that possibility leaves your head spinning. Well, coming up, we'll let you marinate on that, and we'll talk about this. Ben Roethlisberger's gone. Mike Tomlin is uncomfortable and happy about it. Why the Steelers coach thinks his team could surprise. That and a lot more coming up on Get Up. Back with you on Get Up, and it's time to go to the NFL and run the hurry up with Jeremy Fowler, beginning with Jimmy Garoppolo. Jeremy.
Ryan, let's do it. So here's what I'm hearing on the timeline for Garoppolo coming back from shoulder surgery. He's supposed to meet with his doctor really any day now, late this week. And the expectation is that he will be cleared to throw. If he's cleared, he will start throwing most likely in the next 1 to 2 weeks. After that, his trade market should heat up. You got teams like Seattle, Carolina still looking at some options at the quarterback position. Garoppolo could be one that's ready to go before training camp. Then we segue over to Baker Mayfield. His market's still lukewarm because teams are sort of waiting him out on that $18.8 million in guaranteed money. Here's the deal with Seattle. I know they've done their homework on Mayfield. There is some sort of cursory interest. They've watched film to see how he would fit into their offensive scheme. A lot of that interest is predicated on him potentially being released, though. They don't really want to trade any assets for him. It would have to be a heck of a deal for Seattle to entertain that. A lot of people I talked to league-wide still expect the Carolina Panthers to be involved with Mayfield sometime before training camp.
And then there's Kenny Pickett, right?
Kenny Pickett, yes, a rookie deal, 4 years, $14 million, all guaranteed. He signed, he was the last rookie first-round pick to sign, $7 million signing bonus. Now, here's the real benefit with Pickett, just a $2 million cap hit on the Steelers' book. So he is a major bargain right now at the quarterback position. Really all three guys, Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Pickett, only costing the Steelers about $10 million in cap space this year. That's like 5% of their salary cap. So they can load up on all these other positions and sign veterans to big money contracts, knowing that they have a major cost benefit at the most important position.
Okay, future could be bright for Pittsburgh. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord. As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet.
I can't even do it with a straight face.
RC is back, and it's time, my friend, to explain your tweets. The first one, I think, refers to Tyreek Hill mentioning in his podcast that Tua is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. I love this one. Bruh, at Cheetah Noe Lion out here on his podcast. I feel him, though. Everyone's talking about the podcast, and I'm sure Tua feels good about it. But it doesn't mean any of that stuff he said about Casey or Pat. RC, explain.
Listen, I understand. First of all, if he's getting death threats for this, people, stop being stupid. They don't need to be death threats because he said something about your quarterback. But, like, I feel what Tyreek is doing. I didn't know he had a podcast. I didn't know he was starting a podcast. He says that Tua is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes, and I can't stop seeing his podcast. It's actually genius. And I know Tua's sitting at home like, yeah, I already told y'all I'm more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek Hill said it. You ain't got to do that, though. You could say great things about Tua and then also tell the truth about Pat. When I left Washington and we left Sean Taylor and went to Troy Polamalu, I didn't have to say that Troy was better at stuff than Sean. I could say that they were both staking great. But I get it, Tyreek. You do that on your first podcast. We've been talking about it since it came out, and now everybody knows about the pod. But he know good and dang well he is lying. You can't tell me nothing you done seen in OTAs that's better than that stuff Patrick Mahomes done done in the real games. I refuse to believe it.
That's so true. Dude gets an A-plus in marketing. I'll give him that. All right, so explain this one. I like this one. Oh, dip. To see Jabari Smith Jr. Get his name called. Went to school with his dad at LSU. I know he's proud. Ran into both of them at the airport, headed for the draft, and you could just see how close they are. Explain.
Well, first off, I'm tired of autocorrect. It was supposed to be, oh, dope, but they messed it up. It's okay. I didn't want to go back and fix it. Now, I went to school with Jabari Smith Sr. We used to call him Big Nasty. And when I saw Jabari Smith Jr. talking to Kevin Ngakoue one day, and he was like, yeah, you know, I played against my dad, or I do this, I do that. I was like, ain't no way that's Jabari's little boy. I'm walking through the airport in Atlanta this week. I see them both in the airport, get an opportunity to talk to him. So excited for those guys. It's no, that's when you know you're getting old, right? When dudes you played with or dudes you went to school with have kids being picked in the top three of the NBA draft. And now we're starting to see the young lineage of all of these men I am around the same age as get their just due, get their opportunity to achieve their dreams. And it was so cool to be sitting in the house and get an opportunity to see it.
Yeah, so pumped for Jabari Smith Jr. Going number three to the Houston Rockets. All right, so one more. Man, if you don't believe you're top three, then who will? It's okay to say it when you aren't if you do what you got to do to get there. In truth, you'll know your top three when you don't even have to say it. So explain this one and who you're talking about.
First off, I'm talking about Chase Claypool. And I like Chase Claypool. I think he is uber talented. And he said he was top three. Now, when you think about it, maybe he is a top three talent. Maybe he's a guy who can get there. But he ain't top three. He ain't top 13 right now. But if you don't believe you're a 10, who gonna believe it? Ryan Smith, when you get your hair cut and when you put your suit on and when you look in the mirror, if you're not looking at yourself saying, I'm the best, I'm the cutest, I'm the most handsome, then who's gonna believe it? Mirror, mirror on the wall. And that's what Chase Claypool is doing. Now, what he's also done is put a target on his back, because this ain't the first stupid thing that he said. And so this is not the first thing that people don't really agree with. He has to go out and play. No dancing late in games when you're in the two-minute drill. No saying that you hope Cleveland loses or KC's going to take care of him the next week. Now it's time for him to go out and play. It's going to be Mitchell Trubisky or it's going to be Kenny Pickett. It's time for him to carry that team, get 80 to 100 catches, get double-digit touchdowns. And then at that point, he won't have to tell us he's top three, because the accolades and the money will let everybody know.
There you go. And you know what? I'm glad you put it that way in my context, because that's exactly what I do, RC, and I tell it to my wife every single morning. And you know what? She's like, you're not. You're not top three. You're not top 13. You're not top 30. But it's okay. It's okay. I'll take it like that. All right, let's move on. Mike Tomlin was on the Pivot Podcast. You know the Pivot Podcast with my man RC, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder this week.
Yep.
And he commented on his quarterback situation. Take a listen.
I'm excited about being uncomfortable. Yeah, we might not have the type of quarterback play that we've had. We might not have the special talent that we've had. But we got capable dudes. And we got a team.
I love it. RC, that was Mike Tomlin on your podcast. What was your biggest takeaway from that interview?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that Mike Tomlin is authentically him. He's a leader of men that truly means the things that he says. When he started talking about his quarterback situation, he did sound excited. He sounded excited to start that new chapter and necessarily, and not that you're not attached to Ben no more, but you're moving into something else that you have to coach your way through. And he said something during the podcast. He said, I don't run away from coaching. Well, he's going to have to coach this team, right? This team is now going to be built in a different way. The money is allocated to different places. We got T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, the high is paid at certain positions. You have Najee Harris, who's going to move into more of a leadership role, and you have a quarterback who's going to be more mobile and be able to push the ball down the field more than you could last year. What does this team look like when you play the Joe Burrows, when you play the Lamar Jacksons, when you have a quarterback who's no longer Ben Roethlisberger? And listening to Mike T talk about what this team can be in 2022 actually got me more excited than I was just looking at the roster on paper. We're going to see if he's truly the Hall of Fame coach we all believe he is.
Okay, so you're more excited about him. So then what are your expectations for the team without Big Ben?
See, why you got to do that, Ryan? I just got to say all those good things and sound really smart like I knew stuff. And now I got to be confused. You know what, Ryan? Like, I truly don't know. You know, there's a side of me that says I think they can be better. There's a side of me that says Najee Harris will be in his second year. You've made some improvements to the offensive line. How many times did we hear Coach Tomlin talk about a lack of mobility from the quarterback position? You have that in both guys in that quarterback room right now with Trubisky and Pickett. I think that this team could be better offensively. Now, I talked to old defense coordinator Keith Butler, and the first thing he said about this team this year was they're going to have to stop the run. If they understand how to stop the run defensively, I believe they're a better offensive team, and they could be a better football team than they were last year, even without their leader, Big Ben yeah. Roethlisberger.
And look, you look at the Steelers, and you never count them out. That's the thing about the Steelers. So, Rob, I look at this team. I don't count them out, but I wonder, from your perspective, this AFC North is challenging, and that's being kind. How do you see the Steelers competing in this division?
Well, they're not going to roll over. I can tell you that just based on the head coach. And listen, sometimes when you can fly under the radar and manage those expectations in years past, every single year, they're expected to be at the top of the division. Well, now everyone's going to say, oh, they're at the bottom. But that doesn't have to be the case. You have a young quarterback room. You have a competition at the quarterback position. They have a great defense. Now, can they put something together? If they go with the veteran quarterback, if they go with Trubisky, what is he going to look like with another chance, with another place in the NFL to try and show off his skills to where he can get paid? And then you have a rookie quarterback. We don't know what he's going to look like. We don't know how he's going to develop or what he's going to develop into. But I do know this. They have a great head coach that's going to motivate this group of men to say, listen, everyone's counting us out, but we don't have to be counted out. We can rise above everybody else, and we can make a special season here if everyone does their part. We come together as a great unit, and we all play in all three phases. So I think that they could be a very tough team, and I think they can compete. It all depends on how they come together as a team this camp.
Yeah, I don't know if you folks saw those Caesars Sportsbooks odds we just put up. Let's put that back up again, because Caesars has them all the way on the bottom of the division, and I bet Tomlin uses that and says, guys, look at it's right there. Guys, look at how people are looking at us right Ooh. Now. They're looking at us like we're not only on the bottom, but we're on the bottom by a mile. Jeremy, I look at this, and I wonder how that all plays into this, but also how this plays into the quarterback battle. What should fans expect there?
Yeah. Well, Ryan, Mitchell Trubisky does have the inside track. When the Steelers signed him, they liked his pedigree. He's been to a Pro Bowl. He's won more games than he's lost as a starter. He's got athleticism, mobility. All those things add up to some first-team reps that he got in OTAs and minicamp. So he will likely have to be unseated. I've been told that the Steelers don't really plan to play any favorites. That Kenny Pickett can come in, have a great camp, and maybe unseat him. But as you heard Mike Tomlin say on the Pivot podcast, he doesn't seek comfort. Mitchell Trubisky might give him the most comfort at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I would not count these Steelers out. I personally do not see them finishing on the bottom of the division, but we will see how it plays out, because that division is tough. All right, guys, thank you so much. Now, Game 5, speaking of tough, this series, Stanley Cup Final. Game 5 tonight, Avs up 3-1. They'll look to close out the Lightning and win their first cup since 2000-2001, but the two-time defending champs, they never make it easy. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern on ABC and ESPN+. Well, coming up, Garrett Wilson has faced some of the toughest defenses in college football. He's had no fear. So why was he freaked out by something RC said to him? Oh, you'll hear that coming up. Time for a little Meanwhile on Planet Earth. And you know what? I wanted to bring back RC, Ninko, and Big Perk for this one, because this is a really funny one. So on the Pivot podcast, RC, you guys had Garrett Wilson on, Jets first round pick. And RC talked to him about rookie dinners. Okay? You know these rookie dinners where everybody goes out and then the rookie has to pay for it. Take a listen to this sound. It's classic.
They did tell me about the dinner. I got to take all the receivers to a dinner. That's going to be cool. I'm excited for that.
It's not going to be cool.
You know they're going to run that bill up, like $75,000?
Oh, yeah. You mean like the Louis the 13th you're going to have to buy at the restaurant?
They ain't doing me for $75,000. I ain't going to fake it.
Nah. It's the rookie dinner. It's all of y'all.
You the 10th pick of the draft, too. They know you got 20 guaranteed.
Wait, what you say rookie dinner is?
He thinks it's his decision.
That was so cute. It was so cute.
Too good. Perk is cracking up over there. What do you think when you saw that?
You know what? Look, the thing is, you're supposed to get wise and not even go to the rookie dinner and take whatever comes with it after that, okay? Because look, here's the thing. I didn't have to pay for a rookie dinner, but I did have to do a lot of rookie duties. And the one thing that stood out to me when I think about rookie assignments was Gary Payton. I had to iron his old-ass Dickie suits every day. You know he's from the Bay Area, right? So he had the black one. He had the khaki one. He had the blue one. He had the red one. And he would call downstairs to make sure send him downstairs to get pressed. I had to carry him off the plane. I had to go in. I had to iron him. I had to go deliver him to him. And then, you know what he would say? I appreciate you, ugly.
But RC, I looked at his face. RC, the best part of this interview is I was looking at his face, and it was like you were talking to him about it, and he was genuinely shocked. Shocked.
He was actually excited about the rookie dinner before we broke the news to him. He was like, that's going to be cool. And that's what I told him. No, it's not going to be cool. They are not fun. And it was cool. Like, in Pittsburgh, we didn't necessarily kill the rookies because we understood those are our little brothers. We wanted them to feel, you know, we wanted them to feel a connection to us, like that the big bro is going to take care of me. But we did have an offensive lineman named Willie Colon punch another offensive lineman at his rookie dinner because he said he wasn't buying anything else. They had ran the bill up on him. He said, I'm not buying another thing. And the other guy was like, nah, you're going to buy this drink. He orders the drink. And as it goes, sometimes you got to knuckle up. And so he threw on him and they had to break it up, you know, because we didn't want to perpetuate, you know, the stereotype that football players don't know how to act in public.
Now, I got to get to this because Ninko, like, so we all talk before the show and we talk about what we're going to discuss. We brought this up. Ninko, you gave us a story about a dinner. Wasn't a rookie dinner, but it was a dinner that stood out. Please tell everybody this story.
It was a big dinner. Okay, so I had my rookie dinner. It's a rite of passage. You're supposed to pay for the rookie dinner. I get it. Thank God I had Reggie Bush in my draft class because he took care of a big chunk of that. But anyway, so we're playing in the Super Bowl in Indianapolis. We're at St. Elmo's. Tom goes around to everybody at practice. He says, listen, sorry, I dropped my mic, sorry. So Tom Brady says, everybody, I need you to come to St. Elmo's. We're going to go to the restaurant. I'm talking everybody, offensive line, defensive line. Everybody's coming to this. So we were all there. Tom walks around with a hat, and I'm talking steaks, Opus One, everything you could imagine, Louis, everything. So he walks around, takes a hat. He goes, everybody, put your cards in. I looked at him. I said, I have a bottle of beer and a side of fries. I didn't eat anything. He said, no, put your card in. So I take my card. I'm like, all right, well, there's so many people here. The odds here, they'll probably pull my card before. Well, guess what? 10 cards left. I'm sweating, drenched in sweat. Like, there's 10 cards left. My card isn't pulled yet. There's 10 cards left. 5 cards left. I'm literally freaking out. I'm pacing back and forth, up and down the tables. I'm like, listen, y'all eating good. I had a side of fries. Like, what's going on here? 2 cards left. Guess what? Bang. I'm the last one. The last one. The last card. $44,000. I had to play for free. No.
$44,000.
No. All right, but hey, listen. The best part. I'm literally beside myself. I'm like, I can't even cover this. I'm gonna call the bank. They say, yeah, you can't pay that. Like, there ain't no way I can get out. So Tom says, all right. Tom walks up to me, goes, Robbo. I'll get it here and then you'll get me back. And I was like, get you back? You're making a million a snap. You made $1 million a snap. I was like, what? I was so mad. I was like sweating. I was shaking. I was $44,000 dinner. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big one. But Tom, I never paid him back. I never paid him back, so we're good.
So you're good. But now he just remembered because he's watching, and he's like, I'm going to send you that bill.
Bruh.
RC, how much?
This is a big
real
one.
Quick, before we go, RC, how much is the most you ever had to pay for a dinner?
My rookie dinner wasn't bad. I was undrafted. I had to pay about five, and they paid the rest. I've seen rookie dinner bills well over $30,000, though. And ooh, wow. Those rookies, yeah, some of them have enough money to pay, and they're okay with it. Others don't.
RC, wow. Ask Channing about linebacker dinner in Miami. We used to go to Prime 112, and it was crazy with Joey Porter, Channing. I was the practice squad guy. I was the practice squad guy in the back.
I'm just so happy that I chose to play basketball, because even a group of 12, when we go to dinner, boys on the basketball team, the bill max be like $3,800 to $4,000.
Really? Have you been to Prime 112?
Yeah, I have, but we don't go as a team. We go individually, okay, right? You may see one of your teammates over there sitting at a table, and you just, hey, man, I see you over there. Keep it cool. We knew.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What places to go to. I'm just glad man, 44,000?
See, I can't even imagine it.
Man, somebody would have had to smell my cologne
grand.
In there. Because ain't no way I'm spending $44,000 on somebody else eating steak and drinking alcohol. It ain't happening.
See, it never happens to me because I got the alligator arms. You got to have the alligator arms. Can't quite reach that wallet. Man. Oh, wait, what? And you just wait for everybody else to show up. And then you say, oh, I was going to get that. I'll get that next time. That's the way.
No, that is the way. And Ryan, listen, young fella that was on the pivot, when you heard him say, I'm not fading that, anytime you hear the word fade or fading, that means that they're dead serious. He was dead serious once he said that.
Dead serious.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see this bill. All right, fellas. Well, coming up, we're going to have game one of the best of three college World Series finals tomorrow, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Ole Miss taking on Oklahoma, but the Sooners trying to become the first school to win the Women's College World Series and the Men's College World Series in the same year. They've won two titles while the Rebels are looking for the first. Well, how bummed was Stephen A. about what his Knicks did at the draft last night? He needed a hug from Spike Lee. Stephen A. feeling any better this morning? You're going to hear on First Take following Get Up at the top of the hour. Tomorrow, we'll have an MLS doubleheader for you. The Sounders host Sporting KC, 3 Eastern on ABC. Then DC United takes on Nashville on ESPN. Both matches are also on ESPN Deportes and the app, so you can watch anywhere. That's how it works. Meanwhile, check out how this works. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, a runaway golf cart at the Travelers Championship driving itself into the water. Ryan Clark, what would you do if this was coming at you?
How does it even... Bro, how does that even move? I get on golf carts and I can't get them to start when I'm on it. So the fact that this one is just moving by its own, like it's some type of self-driving car in the future, makes no sense to me. And I heard Jeremy Fowler say he would have jumped on it and surfed it early on in the show. I don't care what Jeremy talking about. I would have got out of the way just like that dude and it would have went in the water and I went on about my round. How the hell does a cart just drive itself? That makes no sense.
So you wouldn't have done what this guy did, which is like try to act like he's gonna run in and then be like, no, I'm not gonna take that.
What are you gonna do? It's like standing in front of Derrick Henry.
Clear of runaway golf carts, everybody. First Take starts now.